Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, homies. You're all mine now. There is no more baggage. There is no more extra weight. There is no other name on the laptop. The spotlight is unshared. You honestly thought that Sims was the one that watched film. You thought Sims was the one that knew the game of football, child, please. But to get rid of Fendrick, my biggest joy, an absolute clown, I am Lefko. So...
Lefko, I'm right here.
Good to see you.
Great to see you, too. Do I have to talk to you now, or is that my only cameo?
That was it.
Okay, thank you.
No.
Cue the music.
No, that's not how this is going to work. But I did cover up Sims's name,
Instagram
and Twitter.
Photo.
Yeah, it's mine. Hey, thank you. Thanks for coming out. Let me just give you guys an idea of what's going on this week. The rest of today's episode, going to kind of give you an idea of what's going on. But we're going to have my good friend Justin Pugh, starting offensive lineman from the Arizona Cardinals. He's going to be on sharing his thoughts on he's got a new coach, Cliff Kingsbury. Having to kill snakes in Arizona and why he's holding a grudge against Doug Marrone. I've put Josh to work. He's going to help me out. On Thursday, Sims and I did interviews with Ty Law and Ed Reed in weeks leading up to the Hall of Fame. So we talked to them, and you'll enjoy that on Thursday. And then Friday, your boy, Adam Lefko, 9 o'clock Friday night, the Rising Stars game, which is the freshman-sophomore game. I am doing play-by-play, Josh, and I can't believe that they're allowing me to do it. It's going to be me, Frank Kaminsky, and Danny Green calling a Luka Doncic game. Are you going to watch me, Josh?
Absolutely. Of course I'm going to watch.
What are you expecting? Chaos?
Yeah. I mean, you doing play-by-play for a basketball game, I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, so it's a big week for all of us involved, and then I'm going to be honest, guys, I'm taking a week off. And we haven't done this in a long time. Josh can attest to the fact that whenever we would have vacations, I would make sure we recorded something ahead of time, but I'm pulling my Frank Lucas, and I'm taking a week off. For any of you that don't know, I'm going to share some information to you. The gangster Frank Lucas, who you guys probably saw in the movie American Gangster, he had this thing that he would do called backtracking, where he would lock himself in a room before a big event, and he would pull the blinds, and he would just focus. And that's what I'm going to do for the new show, whether it's going to be called Somebody in Lefko, whether it's going to be called The Lefko Show. I don't know, but I'm going to sort of go into and take a vacation. Big things are going to happen on the vacation. I'm very excited. But also, this is where I need you guys, the 33%, to pull your weight, to pull your 33%. I've already talked to Rod Simba. He's working on a new theme song. It's going to be great. I've already hit up one of the homies, Jonah, who hit me up, works over at Google. He wants to help me make some docs to hear better from you guys, because what I really would like is to make this a podcast that isn't just listening to you guys, but taking things that you guys believe can be great. What guests should we get? What do you think could be the next bar mitzvah that we do with Tariq Cohen? Who else do we think we need to dive into more? I'm going to lead this ship, but the messages that you guys have sent me in my personal DMs or the Sims and Lefko DMs, just all the notes about wanting to be a part of the 33%, let's go, bro. Because the thing that I tell all of you that want to work on the show or intern with the show, I can't really do it, but I'm telling you right now, if you have an idea, Rod Simba sent me 7 different show ideas in my texts, and I appreciate that. As we do it, I'm shouting you guys out. And if you ever reach a point where you need a referral or you need someone to give you some credit on a resume, you can throw my name on there. If you do something for this show, I will stand by you in whatever you need to do. Because I think what we have built, and I said this on Thursday or Friday, this is the most interactive podcast that I know that really cares about the listeners, and we care about covering the NFL in a cool and different way, from getting different active players on throughout the year to trying to get guys that are very knowledgeable about the game that can go more into the film. We're going to do all of that, but I really want to know what it is that you guys want. You're the reason we got to this point, and I want to honor that. So be on the lookout. I'm going to be tweeting out some docs where you guys enter the guests, and I think it will be a lot of fun. It's been kind of crazy seeing all the messages, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. You've been answering a lot of DMs.
Bro.
A lot. I
think I'm at like 2,000.
Good for you.
It's insane.
Sometimes I go in as you're responding, and I just see them all clearing out. It's really impressive.
I showed it to my hairdresser, and she was like, what are you doing?
And I like how you sign it dash Lefko. So
well, yeah, they need to know.
You.
Yeah, because
yeah,
it's good. I'm not. Yeah, I think you were getting a lot of credit. And I just can't let you have the credit anymore.
I mean, I answered probably 10,000 direct messages during football season this year. So,
You know what? And since you're here, I want to give another special shout out to everything that you've done. I think it was so cool to be down there in Atlanta and have all the homies coming up and asking you for pictures. They thought you were taller than they thought.
Which was very nice. I was very excited about that.
Yeah.
To have people come up to you and say, you're taller than I thought you'd be.
One of the best compliments.
It's one of the best things you can hear. Yeah.
One of the best things you can hear.
You're damn right I am. I'm 6'4".
But I fucking love you. You're the man.
Love you too.
I appreciate it. All right, so here's my conversation with Justin Pugh, my absolute dog. I hope you enjoy it. He is the man. Here is his transition to the Arizona Cardinals. Oh, what a treat. What a special occasion. I have seen this man pretty much grow up. I rooted for him to get drafted. I rooted for him to get a big deal. And all these things keep happening. Justin Pugh, Arizona Cardinals, offensive lineman. You're hairier than I remember. You're bigger than I remember. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
You got
well.
The Cartier bracelet well. On?
You know, you can't hide it. You can't hide it.
Is that James Corden money?
It's coming in. I mean, I've been feeling a lot of calls, so I figure I was like, you know what? Let me go back and come see you before it blows up.
Thank you.
And,
I appreciate that.
You know, then I got to get security.
I watched the video before you came. So it was you, Malik Jackson, the guy from Detroit.
A'shaun Robinson.
And then another offensive lineman.
Who I just met for the first time. I didn't.
Okay, so we'll both blank together so neither of us are in trouble.
Parker, yes.
And you were dancing with James Corden?
Yes.
And I saw that there was a few Arizona publications that were like, Justin shows he's got good feet. Yeah. I don't know. I thought from your draft prospects that we already knew that.
I know. I mean, I did a Target commercial.
Oh, I was dancing.
Yeah, it's tough to find. You can't even get it on YouTube anymore. So I thought I had some moves, but they, you know, the Cardinals were trying to come at me a little bit.
I'm just realizing this now. Do you get people that say, man, you're really like a good talker for an offensive lineman? Do you get that?
Which I don't get. I feel like offensive linemen, if you're out there and you want to find out more about the NFL, talk to an offensive lineman.
They're the smarter guys on the team.
Like, if you follow, you know Joe Thomas?
Yeah, of course.
Joe Thomas comes up with some very, very intellectual statements where I'm like, damn, I didn't even think about that. Like, he had that back and forth with Richard Sherman.
Yes.
I was like, both very smart guys. And
yeah.
I was just like, you know what? Hats off to you two for having a good conversation.
Man. All right, so how's Arizona? Just the state. How is it like living in Arizona? Because I've never spent more than like a day there.
We're separating the football from
Yeah, just as a human.
As a human, I love it. I don't do well with animals, and there's a lot of critters in Arizona. Here we have rats the size of dogs.
Yes.
But in Arizona, we have snakes, we have coyotes, we have snakes again, we have scorpions. I had a spider in my backyard. It's called a grizzly spider.
What?
They give you some messed up names. This thing was this big, I swear to God.
And you're holding like a football, it looks like, right there.
I went and got a rock and just smashed this thing to pieces.
See, I wouldn't have even gotten that close.
We go
I'm
out,
afraid of it like jumping at me.
My girlfriend and I go out with black lights at night and find scorpions and you hit them with a hammer.
That's like a hobby? That's what you guys do for
you
fun?
You protect your land. This is like old times out. And we killed a snake in my backyard. Nothing's ever gotten in the house. No,
holy
a cricket,
crap. Because it's just the desert.
It's the desert, but I live at the base of a mountain, and like there's things on this mountain. There's like a little, we bought the house. The people go, there's a little cat that comes around. It's a lynx cat that's like.
It's a little cat.
Yeah, it's like a 40
it's
pound.
A mountain lion.
Yeah, literally, I'm going to get my face ripped off when I take the trash out.
So, but wait, I always feel like football players, you get done this long day of work. You've been beating up your body. I want to come home and relax. And you're coming home and killing football sized spiders and snakes? Yeah, I don't know.
It's a dog eat dog world, man. In New York, I had a homeless guy living under my steps, and I had to deal with some rats once in a while.
Right,
and that was
cool.
You had
a dude stealing
that.
Your packages.
We caught him. Yeah. We caught him. There's no getting by me. But I had a homeless guy making wine under my steps in Jersey City, where I was living.
Wait, like a Cabernet?
Yeah, it was
a Pinot Gris.
Yeah, exactly. It was a blend, actually. Yeah. It was whatever you get his hands on was in this little bag.
He's underneath your apartment making. How does one make wine?
I don't know. I've never, you know how that, it's like a prison. I guess you don't know.
No, but I've seen like prison movies
yeah.
and stuff where they like make alcohol. Wow.
So
how did you find out?
You know who found him? I didn't even find him. So I was, you know that guy that was living next door to me that helped
yes,
him out with his rent?
I do.
He was kind of like my blue and from old school.
Yeah.
So I used to give him $20 a week to take the trash out, so he has some extra money.
Yeah.
He refused to take it. He wanted to do something. I was like, hey,
right.
Bill, you take the trash out, I'll give you $20 a week. So he's taking the trash out, and one night he walks down there, and he just sees two legs under there. And we felt bad for the guy. It was like 10 degrees out. It was one of those nights like earlier in the week where it was so cold that you couldn't do anything.
Sure.
And he's like, I found some guy. He was living under. He's like, so we went down there, and we were talking to him, and he's like making his own wine. I'm like, buddy, like, you can stay here for the night, but like tomorrow you got to go. Like, I can't do that.
And then you've shown the flashlight, and there's like an entire wine cellar underneath.
It was a bag of wine. It was like a CVS bag that he was making. And I don't know how he did it. I didn't ask questions. It smelled awful down there. And I was
wow.
like, hey, look. I know you're going through a tough time. I know it's cold. It's just, I have friends, I have family,
yes.
my girlfriend's coming. If it was just guys,
and
I might
living
invite
under
you
my
in.
House.
Yeah, yeah, it was tough.
So since it's cold, it was a white. It was definitely a white wine. Wow, you've had some interesting living situations.
Well, I was living in Jersey City. It wasn't the best neighborhood.
No, I remember your neighborhood. Your apartment was amazing, but the neighborhood was an up and coming.
Yeah, they throw that tag on there. But I had a garage. I had a place to park my car.
Yeah.
And that you can't put a price on that.
How different as a human is living in Arizona and New York? Because now I've been in New York for about 5 years, and I'm completely biased wherever I go. I'm like, this isn't convenient. I can walk out of my apartment and get anything. So what has that been
like? I love New York. New York is where I grew up. And
yeah.
Became a man in New York, I feel like, or a little bit more than an adolescent boy. But I love it here. I'll always come back here. Arizona is a lot different. It's a lot more outdoorsy activities. People are going hiking. People are mountain biking everywhere. They're walking. They're in shape.
Yeah.
New York.
What are you saying about New York, yes?
I mean, trust me, I'm a big guy. I miss. There's no pizza out there. Like I'm struggling to find. Even though I've had
You're
some really good
pizza. You're a big pizza guy, too.
And I just can't find my Prince Street.
Man. Oh, Prince Street's your one? Are you getting like the pepperonis that curl up and stuff?
It's the best.
Wow. I've never had that slice.
Oh, it's the
I've
best.
Done like all the what is it, Beecher Street? Bleecker?
Yeah,
all Bleecker the Bleecker
Street. I mean, it's.
I've waited in line for 30 minutes. I've done that whole thing.
I got you connected. Next time you're going there, I'll send the heads up. But don't let me get too big because I'm definitely changing numbers here. The Corden, back to the Corden.
Yes,
I'm changing
of course.
Numbers soon.
When you sign a new contract, like I hosted the match, right, with Samuel Jackson, Charles Barkley.
Which was amazing, by the way.
What, to see it?
Yeah. I'm surprised you're answering my calls now.
You're right. Well, I'm just saying my phone blew up for that, and I can't give anybody anything. When you sign a new contract, did you have, like, what was the longest time that you went from talking to someone that they contacted you? Like, did you get, like, an elementary school teacher?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the one thing that helped me, I did change my number
right
going into when I was going to sign it.
Yes.
So I still, if I needed to reach out to someone, I have all my contacts, but getting to me is tough. I got off Facebook because Facebook, you have all the high school, all the friends on
Holy
there.
Holy crap. It's a little bit tougher. I got a kid from college that's still like, want to hang out? And it's like him for like 57 times. I'm like, no, Zach, it's not happening.
And they know, like, they'll see your story. Like, I know you're here. Yes. I'm right around the corner in case. And it's it's tough because you don't want to feel like you're ever dissing anybody. But like, I moved on.
Yeah.
You moved on. Let's just stay in our own lanes.
When I lived in Nebraska, I did a story with this old farmer, and it was right when Facebook was being opened up to the masses. And I said, man, you should get on Facebook. You can connect with like all your high school friends. And he goes, I'm old. I don't want to talk to anybody. And I was like, I want to be you when I grow up. That's
awesome.
Hey,
you just find your island and you stay on your island and you never come back.
So speaking of jail, now I'm just trying to figure out something. You go into a new locker room. Do you fight the biggest guy in the locker room? How did you adjust?
We have this dude, speaking of prison, it was a little prison-esque. Well, not in that way. Yeah. But, you know, Rob Kimdichie.
He's, of course. Robert Kimdichie, Ole Miss.
He might be the most athletically gifted guy I've ever been around. Mm. Like, he's 310 pounds, but he's got a six-pack. I mean, his explosion off the line. He's had
martial arts.
He's in Sweeney Todd and a play during the season. He's an interesting cat. He's got one leg that he has tattooed perfectly. It's like beautiful. And the other one, like his friends like practice on. So he has like a doodle paper leg, and then he's got an actual.
Yeah, like I followed him on Instagram when he went to Japan, and I was like, this guy is not your typical football player. But wait, he's enormous.
He's enormous, but he's a specimen. The guy, like, there's a reason why this guy has been who he was. So I had to go on and fight Rob the first day. Like, me and Rob had been fighting ever since I got there. But he's also the nicest guy. So like, we'll get in a fist fight on the field.
Wait, you will? I thought you were kidding.
No, we fought during OTAs.
Wow. That's the second fight you've had in OTAs. You had one with New York too.
It's a great one. Look it up on YouTube.
You Justin got that uppercut Pugh in.
Putting this vicious uppercut on DeMontre Moore.
I remember I came on the podcast and I was like, fight of the weekend. Forget Floyd Mayweather and Pacquiao. Pugh just leveled this guy.
I fought Damon Harrison. I fought Snacks a few times. That's a scary man. That's a big man.
What is your like, how does it happen with defensive linemen? Is it just weeks into OTA where it's hot and you're annoyed and like they hold on a little bit extra? Like, what causes the OTA fight?
It's usually me. I'm the instigator. I'm not the biggest guy. You've met offensive linemen. Yeah. I'm not the biggest guy in the room, but I like to find out where I stack up on the totem pole. Like, I'm going to get my ass kicked sometimes.
Yeah.
And that just happens. And I'm cool with that. I'm cool with not being one on the totem pole.
Yeah.
But I want to see if I'm 2, 3, 4, 5. See where I'm at.
Yeah.
And you find out. That's how you find out. And I'm more of a type that if we're fighting, at the end of the day, we're going to laugh it off and go back to being boys. Sure. I'm not the hold the grudge type.
But what if they don't? What if they hold the grudge? Like, have you dealt with that?
Yeah, they can't hold a grudge against me. I'm going to come up and mess with them. I'll go sitting down next to them at dinner and be like, look, I'm going to be here until
bring
you, like,
bring them some Prince Street pizza.
Yeah. The olive branch is always a good. Because I have gotten in fights where guys don't want to.
Do coaches like that? Like, do coaches like that the energy at practice was up, or are they kind of like, depending on the coach?
It depends on the coach, but it also depends on the situation. Like, all right, Pugh, like, three times in the past week, like, chill out. Like, Coughlin's like, if there's another fight, you're both getting suspended, conduct detrimental to the team.
Time out. You were under Coughlin?
Coughlin.
How long were you with Coughlin?
2 years.
What is Coughlin like? Because we joke around that he's like, my alarm goes off at 4:30, I am awake, and now I go to practice. What is he like to play for?
That's how he is. I mean, he is like by the book. Every time you go by him, he'll always have something to say. Like, it's always be like, what are you, you're spending too much time in the training room. What are you doing in there?
Mm.
But I was always scared of Coughlin because I was only in my second year. I was like, don't walk by, don't make eye contact. But he would always sit and talk to you.
Yeah.
He would notice if you were wearing black or white socks. If they weren't the right issued socks, you're getting a fine.
Wow.
If you didn't have the right shorts on, the wrong color tights. Like, he was so aware of what was going on and the timing of everything. Like, if you're 1 second late, you're getting fined. And in Arizona, it's not the same way.
And McAdoo, I'm sure, was the same way too.
He carried some of those things. We still operated on Coughlin time, but... It was a little bit. It was a little bit different, but McAdoo's my guy. McAdoo gets a bad rap.
Okay, here, I am someone that a long time during that time was going, this guy ain't right. It's just not working. I think the slicked back hair kind of.
I saw him recently. He interviewed for our OC position.
I saw that with Cliff.
He's back. Sleeve was rolled up. The suit was a little baggy. Like, he's back. He's officially back.
Hair's all messed up.
The hair was still, it was slick, but it wasn't like.
Did the team talk to him about his slick back hair, or was it, this is the coach, we shouldn't say
the players joked with him about it.
And how did he take it?
He was fine. He rolled the punches. I mean, okay. What's he going to, Odell's messing with you. You got to take that on the chin.
1,000%.
But I will say, like,
sell me on McAdoo.
He's back, by the way. He was sleeve rolled up, baggy shirt, looked uncomfortable in his suit.
That's what you
in
want
Arizona,
from a coach.
And I'm like, he's back. He's back. Now, he gets a bad rap because he messed with Eli. Like that when you mess with Eli, you mess with NFL royalty. Mm. Things don't go well for you. I mean, you saw what happened when that whole situation occurred.
Yeah.
The GM and the head coach didn't even make it back to New York.
Man, I remember Francesa just going off on him with that. And now I look at Francesa and he doesn't even know what Photoshop is, which is a fun thing. All right, Arizona, my first question is, how is the Rosen one? What is he like as a person? When he was coming out of college and I heard the nickname, as a Jewish man, I was like, this is my Sandy Koufax. This is what I've always wanted. He had some great moments this year. Yeah. He had some learning moments this year. What was your first interaction where you went, oh, he could be a big-time player in this league? Did you have that moment at all?
It was OTAs because Sam Bradford was the starting quarterback. Everyone was told Sam would be the starting quarterback, but in OTAs, Sam's knees still weren't. He wasn't ready to go during OTAs. So Rosen, as soon as we got to OTAs day one, he was the starting quarterback. Mm. And he came into the huddle and he like had a presence about him, a confidence about him. And there's no teaching that. There's no coaching that.
No.
Either guy either has it or he doesn't have it. And you automatically gain respect by the way you handle yourself in the huddle. I mean, Sims probably has told you,
sure.
You know, if you don't go in there with confidence and speak loudly and clearly, guys are not going to trust you. If they don't trust you, they won't play for you. He came in and he accomplished that right off the bat, which I was very impressed with. I'd never been around a rookie quarterback before.
Right.
I've been around Eli Manning, who knew the offense better than probably most of the coaches knew the offense. So he came in and handled that. But he got dealt a tough hand this first year. The starting five offensive linemen go down. A.Q. Shipley, who was our starting center at the time, who's a vet, 10-year guy, been around a while, he goes down, who's going to help him make
all
these calls.
He was the mentor.
Calls.
Yeah.
So then Mason Cole comes in, who's our backup rookie center, and no knock to Mason, but he's learning as Josh is learning. So you lose your starting five offensive linemen throughout the year.
Wait, all five?
All five and the two backups. So you're starting seven offensive linemen, which normally that's all a team carries,
yeah.
Are all gone. So you're out there, and the other guys came in and they played well and they did some things, and Josh had to learn some things, but it was tough for him for sure. But Josh still has a ways to go. There's times where, you know, Josh wants to revert back to the ways he's done it in the past, just like anyone was. You know, he was comfortable with how they did it at UCLA.
Yeah.
The NFL operates a little differently than college football.
How different is it? If your buddies were asking, how would you explain it to them?
I was in a different situation.
Doug Marone
was my head coach. So I was running the Saints offense when I was at Syracuse.
Wow.
So it really helped me out going into the NFL that these things weren't completely foreign to me.
Yeah.
But a lot of times these college teams are just holding up signs like, all right, run the, you know, Kenny Powers play, whatever that is, however they talk about that. And we were at Syracuse, we dumbed it down to we had like seven plays on our wristband. So Ryan Nassib would come up and just be like, all right, we have one left here, and everyone just got out there and did
right.
it. I think there's a place for that in the NFL. I think the speed helps limit what the defenses can do, and you see a lot
of
these teams going up tempo. So I think that really has emerged as something that is feasible in the NFL. Look at McVay. If you watch what they do, they run basically the same formation, the same plays.
They're just so efficient with it that it's incredible.
And then you look at the Patriots and you watch that game and how it went. It was almost like watching like an artist paint. I mean, it was. I was going to use a different analogy, but I decided. I saw the no
good.
Cursing, the no.
Yeah, we have a problem. I like to curse a lot. I think it's
so
fun.
So do I. It gets your point across.
Have you cursed yet in this interview?
I don't think I have. I know when to turn. I know when to flip the switch.
Would you like to?
Yeah.
What's your favorite curse?
Fuck.
Me too.
I say it in front of my grandmother. My mom gets mad at me. I don't even realize I'm saying it.
I know. My problem is when I get animated, I start talking like this, and my mom will go, "You're cursing, and you don't talk like that." I'm like, "Oh, great. Here we go."
But what's the hand talking? Is that like an Italian thing? Is that a Jewish thing?
I think it's I watched people on television growing up, and I wanted to do that. And I feel like Stuart Scott. I just think I'm a lunatic, so it comes out. This is my other question I have with like normal people. Can you watch football with people that...
No, I hate my friends. I hate watching... I hate them all. I hate watching...
I get invited to watch with so many people, and I can't do it.
I sit there, and obviously I have to watch the Eagles games when I go home with my friends, and I'm just like, they're like, oh, he's the best player ever. I'm like, that was actually a blown coverage. Like, he tripped and fell, or like, what? And I'm like, how can you... He was so wide open. I'm like, he actually wasn't even trying to go to that receiver.
And what you don't even realize is they're doing it more because you're there, because they want to impress you. they want to go, oh, what a great throw. But like, if you weren't there, they weren't going to do that.
And they're like trying to drop coverages on me. And I'm like, look, guys, I'm an offensive lineman. I do know your basic open close coverage. I don't know it as well as an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know shit about NFL quarterback play.
Oh, you're right.
I don't know where like the release point, how they're like, what all those intricacies. So I stay in my lane.
Yeah.
I'm obviously want to learn more about it, but they're like, I played Madden once. I know what cover two is. I know what cover three is.
That's awesome.
I know the difference between a dog and a blitz. So I'm going to try to use that. And they don't know anything.
You talked about seven offensive linemen going down, you get a coach, and then you lose the coach in the same year. Just the experience for you. I mean, you had to learn so much about the other side of the NFL this year.
The past 2 years, from New York to, because I'll explain it this way. When I was in New York, I was dating my high school sweetheart. I was in love. I didn't care who knew it.
She drafted you the first draft. You were destined to be.
She changed my life. And then she just left me out in the cold. Didn't even give me a call goodbye. Just left me.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm still salty at the Giants for the way
I didn't realize.
They didn't even give me
a call.
Well,
they knew they couldn't afford you and Weston.
Yeah.
I think they knew.
They knew that, and they had other guys they had to pay. Odell, yeah. You have Landon Collins coming up. So I get the business side now.
But at the same point.
But at the time, I never thought I would leave New York. I did everything they ever asked me.
Yeah.
They would have just left me at left guard. I think I'm one of the best left guards in the NFL. But I was a band-aid. I was left tackle 1 week. I was left guard. I was right guard.
It was incredible.
I was center if I needed to be in some games in emergencies. So I'm salty for that. And I'll take that hit as like being soft or being emotional about it. But it's an emotional game. So I see the business side of the free agency because I thought I was going to get paid. I thought I was getting Andrew Norwell money because that's how I valued myself.
He got a check.
And he's a great player, don't get me wrong, but like it's because he was good going into free agency. I was good and got hurt going into free agency, which was my downfall. So it was very, very humbling to say, I guess it's kind of, it's not like an asshole saying this, but he was getting 13, I'm getting 9, and I'm like, damn, I thought I was, you know, the guy.
Yeah, but you know what? Deduce this down to something that anyone can understand. If you believe you're better at your job or equal to somebody and you see they're getting paid more, no matter if there's 6 zeros at the end or 5 or 4, it's going to make you feel a kind of way. If I see someone get a job and I go, man, I could do that better than them. And they're getting, it would make me
feel
a type of way.
And not only was it that, it was who paid him. The Jags paid him.
Tom Coughlin
paid him. Doug Marrone paid him. All my guys that were at the Giants or with Syracuse that were my guys, they also didn't want me. So I was like, wait, so the Giants team that drafted me didn't want me. The guys that know me the best, the guys that are in Jacksonville, they didn't want me. I'm like, damn, I'm like, is anyone going to want me?
Yeah.
And then the Cardinals came in and Steve Keim, our general manager, we had some mutual connections. And
sure.
I was like, it is nice to be wanted. It is nice to go to a place that wants you there. And that makes me want to play even harder for those guys because they're like, you know what? We see in you what other people don't.
Mm. And then the coaching thing, because I didn't know we were going to get a one-and-done situation.
I didn't believe that was going to happen either. I thought he would get a second chance with this year just because we had so many injuries and things of that nature. But those things were above my pay grade. There's things that were happening with the defensive side of the ball where we have a 3-4 team. We brought in a 4-3 coach. How are we going to handle that? So I guess there were some fundamental disagreements on how the team was going to go moving forward.
Have you met Cliff yet?
I have.
Ooh.
Smooth.
Okay, first question. Is he as attractive in person as he is on camera?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I mean, he's got the sharp dress suit. He's coming. I met him. He just landed on the private helicopter with the owner. I mean,
with the Ryan Gosling glasses.
Exactly. And I think but Wilkes was also very smooth.
He was
Denzel Washington. I know sometimes they would put like he was the man. So I've had some pretty smooth coaches.
And then McAdoo.
He's back. He's back.
Just smack the table. He's back.
Exactly.
So what's your vibe of Cliff? And are you excited?
I'm excited. Obviously, like everyone's trying to like chime in and everyone has an opinion on him.
Of course.
I don't know what kind of football mind he has yet. I haven't sat down. I haven't heard the offense that we're going to be installing.
Right.
I know from talking to people that a lot of the NFL guys will go to him and get some ideas. Like, he's on the forefront of...
Your boy Davis Webb played for him.
And he said amazing things. Every guy that's played for him has said, he's the man, you want him on your side.
Right.
We surrounded him also with some veterans.
Mm.
So for, he's a young guy, he's never had head coaching experience. In the NFL, obviously, at Texas Tech, we got Vance Joseph, who was just a head coach in the NFL. Hey, look, this is what went wrong for me in Denver. Don't want that happen to you.
Right.
We got Sean Kugler, who's our offensive line coach, who was in Pittsburgh with the great offensive line. He was in Miami. He was in Denver. He was a head coach at UTEP for a little bit. He's our offensive line coach.
What's he like?
I haven't met him yet.
Because offensive line coaches are like the best.
The guy that is no longer with the Cardinals, that was my O-line coach last year, Ray Brown, one of the best human beings you'll ever meet. Played for 20 years in the NFL. He didn't get his big deal.
20 years.
20-0 as offensive lineman.
Holy crap.
He didn't get his big deal till year 10. Imagine that. He was the I think he was the first guard to make $1 million.
Wow.
Played for San Francisco, played for the Redskins for a while.
When you saw, did you watch Hard Knocks? And you saw Bob Wiley with the Was there any party that's like, I'd like to play for that guy?
No. I mean, like, that just didn't appear. I mean.
Yeah, I get it.
You're a
gorilla.
He's funny. I'll laugh with that. But I'm like, I want to win football games. I'll tell you this. The offensive line coach in Seattle right now, Mike Solari.
Yes.
Is a guru. He's unbelievable. And we bashed heads in New York because I like to have fun. I like to joke around. And he's like all business. He's an actual robot. He's the nicest guy ever, but an actual robot. And he's the one who told me, he's like, look, you're not going to want to hear this, but you might have to take like a one-year deal with a team because you're not going to get the money you're looking for. During the season, he's like getting hurt. He's like, team's not going to pay you.
That's what I'm wondering with DeMarcus Lawrence right now. He's getting surgery, and I'm like, I don't know if I would do that with your contract coming up. But
what's he getting done? I mean,
I think I saw shoulder surgery. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean,
defensive lineman and offensive lineman.
I was a back with an offensive lineman. You have a back injury with an O lineman. It's tough.
All right, I don't want to take up too much of your time because I know that your schedule is crazy. But I guess I don't know. So I would say that the Arizona Cardinals, when I look at them from afar, someone that covers the entire NFL and looks at the whole league, they were from the very beginning written off. Like, I think even before the year, whether it was like the Tyrann Mathieu situation, players leaving, it was a new coach with a rookie quarterback, no one really expected anything. So expectations were low. Larry is back. I think the offensive line being healthy, in my gambling mind, which you're not allowed to say, I go, oh, that's seven guys getting back. People can sleep on them. Why is everybody sleeping on the Arizona Cardinals next year? What could happen that could prove everybody wrong?
I mean, when you're the worst team in football, record-wise, no one's going to give you a chance. But if you look at why things went the way they went, cap space was a little limited. We made some investments in the quarterback position that didn't pan out. That's a lot of money. I mean, we have a lot of cap space. I mean, we have the number one draft pick in every round, obviously.
Yeah.
People are going to be coming for that number one pick. I don't know what we do with it. And then we're the number one on the waiver wire, so we can get some guys. And you can see teams make that bounce back quick. Look at the LA Rams, for example. I mean, they were the laughingstock of the NFL a few
two years ago.
They're in the Super Bowl now. So I've seen crazier things happen. The most talented team I've ever been on was the Giants team 2 years ago, and we were the second worst team in football.
Jeez. All right, my last question is, what is it like to face Aaron Donald?
I hate him. Because he's so damn good.
I saw him in person. I've never seen a human that thick, like but from did front
you
th- to back.
But like, if no one told you he was a D lineman, wouldn't you think he's like a fighter or a wrestler or like...
He's a bowling ball, and every inch of him is muscle. All right, so he lines up over you.
Yeah.
What is that experience like?
Do well against him so he goes to the other side. Just like get him. There's a category of D lineman who's the best. There's every other guy, and then there's Aaron Donald. Like there's no one.
It's that wide. Even Fletcher Cox.
Really? And Fletcher Cox is very, very good. He's a Pro Bowl All Pro.
Aaron Donald is
like a change the game type of player. He's a Lawrence Taylor of our time. Where like, when have you ever seen? I mean, Warren Sapp maybe would change the game on the inside. But
three
like,
technique, yeah.
If you have a guy that can penetrate up the middle, you can put guys on the edge to chip guys. It's very hard to get two bodies on Aaron Donald, which a lot of teams slide to him now.
Right.
But then you're putting the backside guard in an awkward position. So people, they can scheme that.
So I'm sure you watch all this film and you look at a guy and you go, okay, I can take this away. I'm going to give up a little here, but I'm going to take this away. What is your mindset when you face him? Is it just don't get blown back or...
Well, it depends. You have to know when you're getting help and kind of funnel him to your help.
Yeah.
But if you do that too quick, he's going to blow through the other guy. So you can't – guys, you'll see so many times they're sliding to him and he splits it because the one guy's like, all right, let me make him go inside. But he gets beat so quickly inside that the other guy's in trouble and he splits him and he gets into the quarterback. Or on the backside of a run play where he just blows by the guard because he just tries to put a hand on him.
Does he talk during games?
No, he doesn't really talk. And neither does Ndamukong Suh. He doesn't really talk.
So there's just these silent monsters.
And you don't poke the bear. Like, if you're an offensive lineman, we were playing them, and someone started getting into it with him, and I'm like, you shut up. Don't say anything to him. I don't get Khalil Mack going. I don't get Von Miller going.
Yeah.
You don't get him going, and we're good.
So Donald's clearly above Mack too in your mind.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think you put a tight end like a Rob, like
you'll chip him a little bit.
You chip him a little bit. I played against Von Miller a few years ago, and he's unbelievable, but they're not as powerful as Aaron Donald. Mm. So they scare you. Like Mack can run. You've seen him run guys
yes.
over. So obviously Mack is in that conversation, but I just think Aaron Donald's – and it pains me to say this because
– Yeah, you want to be the biggest, baddest dude ever.
I got to go against – I know where I'm at in the totem, but I'm going to keep getting after him.
Yeah, I guess that would be my only other question is when was the first time that he got a hand on you and you felt the power and went, wow, that didn't even show up on film?
At Pittsburgh when I was at Syracuse. I played against
college.
Him. Yeah. Because when I was at college, no one gave me problems. I went against Chandler Jones every day. Mm. And Chandler was very, very good, but Chandler took – a step when he got to the NFL. Like he realized he had an 80 whatever inch reach and started using it.
Yeah.
I played against Bruce Irving. I played against Nick Perry, all first round pick guys. But I didn't struggle with them like I struggled with Aaron Donald. Like he gets up under you because he's like 6 feet tall and there's nothing you can do because he's more powerful than a guy that's 350 pounds.
Unreal. Well, good luck to you. Health, wrist is good.
Hand is good. The knee is good. Everything's good.
All right. As long as you don't let those snakes and spiders get to you, I see a good season ahead.
It's going to be
a
good year.
Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you having me on.
That was my guy, Justin Pugh. Not going to lie, did pretty good in the left co-host chair. Now, this was before I didn't even tell him what was happening, that there would be an opening. But I'm just saying, if the Left Co podcast, whatever this becomes, kind of becomes an American Idol of searching for that perfect co-host, I think that Pugh might be up there. And I want to know what you guys think about him. You know, do I need to bring back Pugh? I really want to know. All I definitely know, and Nick take the two shot here, is Josh Fendrick wasn't going to make it. I mean, you're co-hosting earlier. I cannot extend you a rose. But more, you know what? Let me translate to something you would understand. Josh?
The tribe has spoken.
The tribe has spoken.
I do understand that.
You do?
That's a language I speak.
Do you want to get any Survivor stuff out of your system before you're done?
I think my Hawaiian Sling monologue last week was all I needed.
People really love that.
Oh, they loved it, yeah.
Okay. Well, I love you. Do you want to say anything to the homies? Yeah. You got to give a last shout out to the homies.
I thought I was done on Friday. I love you all. This experience has been absolutely awesome. I feel like I'm going to give the same speech that Sims gave because I pretty much agree with everything he said. Sad to see it end, but yeah. I'm pumped for the future.
All right, 33%. So Josh cannot be the left co-host. We learned that today.
Yep.
And it's a missed opportunity. But coming up on Thursday, we are going to have two more interviews. It is going to be Ty Law and it's going to be Ed Reed. And I'm going to be honest, it's the last time that you're going to hear Sims and me doing the pod. But it's cool because we always connect with these guys. We hyped up Ty. Ed Reed takes you. You realize why this dude is so smart and why he's so cocky. And it really, really is special. But I appreciate you guys. As always, you are the man. I am the LEFKOE. I know you said it at home, and that's really all that matters. You guys are the shit. We'll be back later. Be well.